sip of a beverage.
Okay.
To cool my, calm my nerves. Wow. Where'd the weekend go, man?
I know, really. It's, it seems like it barely got started.
Yeah, totally. So, the kid asleep? The kiddo asleep?
The kiddo is asleep. I got out of doing any of that tonight.
Oh, nice.
My wife did that, and my wife put her down, so yay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Night off.
But I had her this morning.
No.
We were downstairs playing a game, and then she said, well, I'm going to go upstairs for a couple minutes. I said, okay. And she came back down 10 minutes later, and she said, Daddy, I'm ready to go to McDonald's. And I was like, all right, well, then there we go. The decision's been made. So we have this McDonald's near us that's brand new, just opened up not too long ago, has this huge indoor play area. And I've kind of become a believer in McDonald's being like the greatest thing that ever happened to parents. Because I could take her there, she'll actually eat, she'll run around for an hour, and then it's like, hey, the rest of the day is okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
We had to do McDonald's yesterday with the boys because I volunteered to teach Braille to a bunch of scouts, but I didn't volunteer until, well, I volunteered before I knew where it was.
Yeah.
And it was all the way in Springfield, Virginia, which is,
right.
It's so like, there's a beltway in Washington, D.C. So I live at like 12 o'clock. Okay. This is like at 6 o'clock, like literally on the other edge of the beltway, like furthest I could get from my house on the beltway. And still be, quote, inside the beltway, as we say here. And yeah. It took about 2 hours and change to get there and $80 in transportation.
Whoa.
Because the trains were jacked up.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're doing all this stuff called SafeTrak in D.C., and it totally sucks.
No.
So, like, I took an Uber, which was weird. We took an Uber, and it turned out that the Uber driver was friends with a kid in Oliver's first grade class, which was kind of weird. And it was like, hey, man, you know, just sort of, yeah, so you're driving Uber on weekends, cool. Yeah. And then but the boys were totally excited. I couldn't get them to stop talking to the guy.
Yeah.
It's like when you see your teacher in a grocery store or something. And then, so we get to the train, ride the train all the way, not to Virginia, but just to D.C. And then we would have to transfer. But it turns out the train we were transferring to, like, wasn't working. Like, it was shut down. They're doing construction on the lines.
Right.
For all these, like, because they started having fires last year on the tracks.
Oh, wow.
So they're redoing, like, all the tracks. They're shutting down lines. And it turns out they shut down two parts of the line that I needed to use to get to Virginia. Uh-huh. And I found that at two different times. It was like I took a cab, and then I went to this mall in Pentagon City, which is kind of another place where I was going to switch to the train again, like, to get into Virginia and then catch the train past where they were doing work.
Right.
Turns out they were doing work after that station as well, all the way into the end of the line. And so I was like, all right, we're going to be late. We won't have time for lunch. So I caved in and got the McDonald's at the mall. And, but then we took a cab and the freaking cab driver dropped me off at the wrong high school where I was supposed to go teach.
Oh no.
And I was like, I don't realize until I get inside. And I was just like, livid. It was like a $40 cab ride
because
the trains were shut down, and it was the wrong fucking high school. So I was like, "Oh my god, just somebody, just like shoot me now, please." And but don't actually shoot me because I was with my two kids, and that would have been traumatic for them.
Yeah.
So we called an Uber, and then the Uber guy took me there, and then I got there, and it was like 3 hours long trying to keep my two kids quiet in the back. Elliot, my 4-year-old, kept like, sir, like trying to go up to the scout leader guy, like to ask him questions with like, you know, the 14-year-old scouts going, who's this little brat? And then we left. And so then I went to leave and I was like, shit, how am I going to get home? So I called an Uber and the Uber guy came, waited, said he was there. We're not seeing him. I'm texting him saying, hey, we're in front of the school. And then Ollie's looking at the map. Hey, he's driving the other way. And then the guy canceled. And then I had to pay $5 for the canceled ride. It was like the guy came, sat there, waited his 5 minutes, and then left to get five free bucks. I'm like, what a J-Wad. So then I did that another car, and then I had to cancel the other car because the boys were just too rambunctious. I was like, there's no way I'm getting an Uber with you guys. I'll get a one star. They'll rate
right.
me.
So, how did he mess up the high school? How did he get
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it was like we were at the front entrance of this main high school, and it was just weird. So anyways,
that's like saying, yeah, I need to go to George Washington High School, and you get dropped off at Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to Robert E. Lee High School, and he dropped me off at Thomas Edison High School. No, don't even sound remotely the same.
They're not even in the same century. I mean,
yeah, they're not even like both Virginians, which every other high school in that area is named after some either Virginian, like Thomas Jefferson, or like somebody in the Confederate States of America. It's very bizarre going into Virginia. I'm like, does anybody mind having a school named Robert E. Lee High School here? Is this like kind of weird? Anybody? So
we can laugh at that now, but
oh, of course, yeah.
Dare come up, yeah, you got dropped off at the wrong high school. Ha ha.
Yeah, I know. So, anyways,
so were these Boy Scouts? Were they blind, or it was just they wanted?
No, they get like you can get a badge, I guess, for the older scouts on like a merit badge and like signals, signs, and codes.
Oh, okay.
So it was me and then a guy from the Cold War Museum and a woman that taught ASL. And the guy from the Cold War Museum was really into what he was talking about. So I was like trying to keep Elliot quiet for like almost 2 hours. And then I was the last person to get to speak. And sure enough, like Elliot just started talking really loud in the back while I was speaking. And I'm like trying to teach Braille. Like, Lewis Braille was born in 1809. Dad! yes, hold on, Oliver. Hold on.
Where was Lauren?
She was working yesterday. So I panicked. Not panicked, but after I canceled two Ubers and blew 10 bucks and like, although I did get credited back for one of the Ubers. So that made me feel better.
Okay.
I was just like, Lauren, please help. Come get me. So she had to drive like 30 minutes out of her way to come pick me up after work. And
I'm sure she was delighted.
Oh, by all means. God love her, though. I was just like, by that point, because I had the boys at swimming class that morning. I mean, I was like frazzled.
Yeah.
So
anyway. Oh, I'm sorry that happened.
Nah, it's all, you know. It's
not really that sorry. Parents. I mean, I got a good
life. I mean, I saw your Facebook post the other day where you were just like, take your worst tantrum and multiply it by 50. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was an interesting day because it started in the morning where Maddie was being a little fussy. So I said, listen, if you're good, I'll let you have this little bag of Skittles. Skittles are her favorite candy. So Lane took her, my wife took her to school, and apparently Maddie dropped them all over the floor of the car. So she was really upset about that. Then they get to school, and it turns out it was Dr. Seuss Day. So all the kids were dressed up as a Dr. Seuss character, except our daughter. So there was a tantrum about that. So there's two tantrums already in one day. And so later on, we all meet for dinner, and we're walking back to – my wife and I took separate cars, and we're walking back to our cars, and Maddie dropped on the ground this cup of lemonade that she was drinking.
Oh.
She went berserk. I mean, it was as if she had just like it was like your wife losing her diamond ring or something. It was unbelievable. And she went, my wife and I have a disagreement about how long it lasted, but I pegged this tantrum as going at close to an hour. And in one breath, she actually said to me, I hate you, I wanna punch you in the face, and you're a poopy head. All in one breath. And then, you know, an hour goes by and she's like, okay, so let's watch TV. It was unbelievable how this little girl can generate so much violence. It was unreal.
I'm just glad it's not gender specific because Elliot used to explode a lot like that. He's starting to get better though. He's getting a little better.
Yeah. No.
He said the other day, he's like, don't make me turn on my math switch, Daddy. And I was like, I guess he learns that at school. And I was like, thank you so much for just being able to tell me I'm about to turn your math switch on.
Matt Switch.
Yeah.
Like, come on, he's 5 years old.
I know. He's got the Mad Switch.
Oh, Mad Switch.
I mad, thought said, yeah.
I thought you said Man Switch.
No, the Man Switch. Oh, no, not the Switch. Although, so did I tell you about what Oliver's doing? The owl class? So we have started the sex ed training at Shea Stevens.
Oh.
It's actually this thing through our church. So we're going to like a new church now.
Yes.
And it's a thing for kids. And it's a first grade curriculum on human sexuality. And I mean, I think it's the reality of the time we live in now, where exposure to internet and everything else is coming much sooner.
Yeah.
So, but we were like all nervous. I was in this, like, started in this, at the church, like this parents group for the 7-year-old class, after school class. It's a Unitarian Universalist church. So we're all like total hippie, you know, peace on earth kind of folk. And they had this sort of pre-class for parents, just to get a sense of if that we wanted to do it, you know, and you had to get kid parents' permission and everything.
Right.
But it's called OWL, and apparently it's used in, like, some private schools, and then a number of, like, sort of progressive-leaning faith groups that use it, too. But it's really interesting. It was a lot about, like, so far it's been about, like, body integrity. Like, today it was, like, what color do boys associate with boys and associate with girls, but trying to get more gender-specific. Yeah. And then it's, too, it's like, you know, not all, you know, some kids have two moms and two dads, and some kids aren't born in the womb. They're born in vitro, or, you know, I mean, they aren't conceived, you know, atypical through like intercourse or something. So, and I think it is going to end with some, you know, here's the birds and the bees kind of down and dirty, but it's much tamer than I thought it was going to be, which is good. Cause I was nervous.
But you don't Oliver's... have to watch any of those videos, Johnny, put your thing away.
No, exactly. But, and it's good just about like protecting your body, but then too, like, you know, not everybody looks the same and that kind of, you know, just like body image is a big part of it.
Yeah.
So.
Is it a co-ed class or is it just.
It is a co-ed class. Yeah. Oh, it's co-ed. Okay. And so it's, I was surprised about that.
Wow.
But I mean, it's not like, you know, probably is. I mean, it's probably not nearly as graphic as what he'll get like in middle school or something, you know, that's maybe where you want to be. Let's go ahead. For now, it's just more respecting, I think, gender identity. And so,
wow.
So, yeah.
Have fun times.
It is. Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. So Elliot has not turned on the man switch yet.
Okay.
But, it's the mad switch, but he's definitely, he can definitely be kind of masculine sometimes.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad I have a girl in that respect. I'm going to leave that mostly up to my wife.
Oh, man. There's nothing more fun than being in public, especially when you can't see, and just having your son pull on his penis, like, in the middle of a crowd.
Hey.
And you're just like, sorry.
Like father, like son.
Well, exactly. Exactly, so.
How could you tell if Tony's distressed? Oh, he's pulling on his penis.
Exactly.
Just, that's
he usually does it when he has to go to the bathroom. Got the guitar here. I'm gonna sing the pulling on your penis blues.
Well, you know, speaking of music,
what do we have on the music radar this week?
Okay, well, because you are a bass player first and foremost, I looked up a Rolling Stone best bass players list. And this was done by a reader's poll. So I don't know most of these guys. They sound like losers to me, but like number 10, that was a joke, but number 10, Victor Wooten.
Oh, he's a badass. If he's like, so he played with Bella Fleck. Do you know who Bella Fleck and the Flecktones was?
Yeah.
He was their bass player. But, go to YouTube and check this video of him doing, I Want You Back by the Jackson 5.
Okay.
Where he like plays the whole thing like kind of on bass. And it's like, he's as Samuel Jackson would say.
Did he have his own band?
Badass mother.
Or was he just like a session musician?
Well, he's like a session, but he and his brother play in a band too. His brother's a guitar player.
Okay.
And so they tour. I think he lives in Brooklyn. So he's like,
okay.
But he's a total badass bass player. Very
Well,
good. So he's number 10?
he's number 10.
Oh,
Number 9 is Cliff Burton.
he was the Metallica bass player.
I think so.
Tragic death. The
Oh,
bus.
that's right. Yeah, the
Yeah.
bus thing.
The
Yeah.
bus crash. And the bus, like, rolled over on him.
Yeah.
So it was, ugh, yeah. See, that's interesting. Well, this is people voting on him, not like
Yeah,
he's
this is
not like
just the.
editors' picks.
No, that comes later. This is just Rolling Stone readers' poll, best bass players. And so number 8 is Jack Bruce from
Oh yeah,
Cream.
for Cream.
Number 7, you actually introduced me to this guy, Jaco Pastorius.
Oh yeah.
He's number 7.
He's cool. There's a great documentary about him that Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers produced called Jocko. You can get it on Netflix. It's really good.
Well, we are getting to you, Mr. Flea. Number 6 is John Paul Jones.
Oh, Led Zeppelin.
Yep. Number
Yeah.
5 is Les Claypool.
Oh, for Primus.
Yep.
Huh. Well, I'm surprised he's so high up. I mean,
Number
he's a
4.
great bass player.
I had never, I mean, most of the, a lot of these guys I've heard of, but I Les Claypool, I've never heard of.
I saw them open up for Rush. They're like a funky trio. The South Park theme song. That's a Primus. That's him singing and playing bass.
Oh, okay.
They did the South
Okay.
Park theme song.
Well, number 4 is Geddy Lee.
Oh, Rush, yeah.
Number 3 is Paul McCartney.
Oh, of course, Paul. He's number
Yeah.
four. What number is he?
Well, 4 was Geddy
Oh,
Lee.
four
3
is
is
Geddy
Paul
Lee. Yeah,
McCartney.
okay.
Number 2 is Flea.
Yeah, cool.
And number 1, John Entwistle.
Nice.
Yep.
He would be in my top five. Entwistle would. He's probably
And
even
then
top three. He's good. It's interesting. Sting's not in there.
Sting is not in there, nor is the great Roger Waters,
Oh yeah, good
one of
point.
the greatest bass players of all time.
Yeah.
I'm joking, of course, but no,
No,
I'm
he's a
not.
good bass. Well, you know what though? I mean, I think a real good bass player, and this is something McCartney could master. McCartney played bass though like a cello. Like he played it like these, interesting walks that weren't your typical just writing on an E, just, But the thing I like about Roger Waters is he's a really good bass player, but he doesn't show off. He's not showy bass player. He holds the song together because I think he and Paul are both, songwriters as much as they are bass players. They're composers who play the bass as their main instrument and really do sort of, in a sense, know when to shine with the bass and when not to. Interesting.
Well, this readers poll, when they got to John Entwistle, the readers voted his bass riff during My Generation, when he has that bass solo, as the greatest bass solo of all time, the most recognizable.
Yeah. That's a good
Yeah.
one.
Yeah. And then
You know,
I have to correct myself on something I said last week. We were talking about like interesting song facts, and I said that Eric Clapton's I said that Layla had nothing to do with Patty Harrison.
yeah.
I said no,
Does
it
it
has to
have to
do
do with him?
it, yeah, it has everything to do with her. I
Oh, there
was
you go.
completely and totally and utterly wrong. But here's like the really wild thing about Clapton and George Harrison. So George Harrison and his wife split. She goes off with Eric Clapton, and then at
Awkward.
Eric Clapton's wedding to Patty, Ringo Starr, George Harrison, and Paul McCartney all played at his wedding. Like, that just doesn't make sense, but in some cosmic world, it does make sense. But I stole your
Blackbird's
wife,
stealing my
but hey,
wife
you
at the
stole
dead
my
of
wedding.
night. Take my wife and won't you let me hold. Gotta put this up. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that little tidbit of history.
So Tony, if you ever steal my wife from me, I will still play at your wedding.
Thank you, Evan. You'll probably play at my funeral.
Yeah. I only know four chords, but Tony would appreciate this one.
Little bastard stole my wife.
Then wait, I have another list that I was looking at.
Oh, what's this one?
This is one I read Rolling Stone quite a bit. This is Rolling Stone 500 greatest albums of all time. So starting at number 499.
We're going to go through all 500 now. Hey, no, hold on tight, people.
I'm going to give you 20 through 10, and then I'll do the rest next week.
Oh, okay. I like a suspense.
There is suspense. This is Rolling Stone 500 greatest albums of all time, as voted on by a panel of musicians and all these folks.
Okay.
So it wasn't the readers. It was a group of musicians.
People that actually had cred.
Right. Number 20 was Thriller.
That's of all time? Huh.
Of all time. Wow. This is since the creation of music.
I mean, I guess Rolling Stone rocks a little harder than Thriller, so I guess that makes sense that it's not number one, but
yeah.
Cool. No, all right.
Number 20.
Damn good album.
Number 19 is Van Morrison's Astral Weeks.
Cool.
I've never heard that album before.
I'm surprised that beat out Thriller, but okay. Continue.
Number 18, Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run.
Damn good album.
Number 17, Nirvana, Nevermind. Number 16, Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks.
Ooh, that is one of my favorite Dylan songs.
Which one?
You just asked me, and my brain
completely left out. It was my favorite song of all time. My favorite Dylan song. I can't remember it.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. I was playing in bed, wondering if I'd say it was all. Tangled Up in Blue. Tangled Up in Blue. Why can I not think of that song?
Number 15, Jimi Hendrix, Are You Experienced?
All right, yeah.
Number 14, Abbey Road.
Good song. Good album.
Number 13, this one I kind of disagree with, but whatever. Number 13, The Velvet Underground. Velvet Underground.
I could see, like, journalists that cover music being really into that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the first sort of alternative album.
Well, yeah, it was like kind of artsy and everything,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
it
was, art rock, the first art rock album, I guess.
Number 12, I don't know who the hell this guy is, Miles Davis, Kind of Blue. Sounds like a loser to me.
Miles. Miles. Isn't that a guy in a... It's the Frasier. Is that Frasier's brother wrote that?
Miles, no. Yeah. And then number 11 was Elvis Presley, The Sun Sessions.
Interesting. The old Presley. Huh.
Yep. Not in the top 20 was my favorite album of all time, Dark Side of the Moon. That was at number 43.
Really? And that album was literally in the... I remember that album went all kinds of stuff for being like in the top 100 for decades.
Yeah. It was on the... It charted the most number of weeks on the Billboard top, whatever it was.
Yeah. Huh.
But yeah, that was number 43. No. So, yes, next week.
I think there's a bias against Pink Floyd in the Rolling Stone hallways.
It should be illegal. But next week I will have 10 to 1. And then I'm always looking at like these useless facts. Like I'm always in websites that have useless facts. The first man to urinate on the moon.
What?
The first man to urinate on the moon.
Was it Neil Armstrong?
Buzz Aldrin.
Really?
Shortly after, because you know they can do that in spacesuits. So it was shortly after he stepped foot on the moon.
It wasn't like he wrote his name in the dust or something.
No, which would have been classic.
That would have been classic until he like decompressed and his body got like contorted and exploded in a suit or something.
I just think that's like the greatest thing in the world that like Buzz Aldrin admits that. Like, yeah, I was on the moon. I took a leak. And that the other useless fact that I have, and this is the last one, but you'll appreciate this as a musician. Most toilets flush in E flat.
Really?
Most toilets flush in E flat.
Okay. I'll have to listen for that.
What's Tony doing in the bathroom? Now he's tuning his guitar.
If you're in Australia, is it tuned in D sharp? No?
Nothing. No. That wasn't even... I can't even give you pity laughter for that.
Sorry. All right, man. Well, I got nothing. I don't have to... I'm not nearly as prepared this week for anything to share.
I'm Cliff Clavin. Yeah. I love useless facts. Like, I'm going to get so much mileage out of that Buzz Aldrin one all week.
That is good to know.
Yep.
It's, you know, I'll have to spring that up next time we go to the Air and Space Museum and they have like the people talking about NASA stuff in the corner.
That's the
Excuse me.
Yeah, you could say, pardon me, folks, but where's the monument to peeing on the moon?
Exactly. That's
Well, you know, you were playing guitar, and so you remind me of this, that as soon as grad school is over in 13 weeks or so, I'm going to teach myself how to play guitar all over again.
Really?
Yes.
You should try like lefty or something, just sort of to mix it up.
Yeah, because I can't even play with the right hand yet. But I've been wanting to just, you know, supposedly there's a whole world out there beyond Beatles songs that only
Right.
have four chords. So I'm going to try to attempt to learn some of these.
What would be your one song? Sorry, the motto for their show. I'm tired. Too tired. What would be the one song you think you would have learned?
Yeah. Hey, I wish I could be original on this, but I'd really like to learn how to play the intro to Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool though. It's a neat walk down, the way it sort of does this walk
Yeah.
down on the bass note.
Well, and like anytime I ever see someone like pick up an acoustic guitar and just like mess around, sooner or later they're gonna play that intro to Stairway to Heaven, and it just ticks me off that I think I'm the only person that doesn't know how to play it. So that's the first song I'm gonna teach myself how to play.
There was a music store in Atlanta when I was a little kid called Rhythm City on Paces Ferry, and they had a huge sign in front whenever you walk in. It said, "No stairway."
Do you just like because you know like oh no stairway. I like that. When you go into a music store, do you just like what do you go for? Do you go for like the $7,000 Stratocaster, or do you go for the bass guitars on the wall? Like, you must love music stores.
Yes and no. It's hard when you can't see the instruments up on the wall. I mean, you know, it's like I love used music stores more than anything because they, like, I'm constantly trying to find like the diamond in the rough. Like, even though I'm not going to buy it, just like the idea of like, oh, here's something that's like unique. And two, usually they have the guitars like down on the ground where you can kind of run your hands over them. So I'll kind of put my hands on every guitar, but which makes me feel kind of dirty. But it's I usually like to kind of try to find the sort of more the eccentric stuff, not the $7,000 guitar, but like where's a $300 guitar that would play like a $4,000 but not a $7,000 guitar? You know, like what's the cool thing that could be like the buy? Like I would be one of these bargain hunter shows, but for music instruments, I'd love to do a show like that if I.
I would love to just see you go into a music shop and say, hi, I'm blind. Can you hand me your most expensive guitar? Thank you. That I would love to.
I haven't done that, but I have gone into some music stores where you pick up a guitar and you ask what it is, and you're like, "How much is it?" And you're like, "Oh my God!" Like you put it down like right away. Like there's this place that there was a place in Nashville. I heard it moved out of Nashville, but called Grom Guitars. And you'd go in there and you'd pick up like a 57 Strat. This wasn't too long ago, like 15 years ago. And it's like, "How much is this?" And like, "That's a $15,000." And you're like, "Oh, jeez, okay, sorry."
But, you know, it's like if I were in the well, I mean, the electric guitar I have is used, the acoustic one isn't, but I can't imagine ever like wanting to buy like a brand new guitar. Like, it just seems like buying used is the way it should be, because you're buying, you know, an instrument that already has some history to it, you know, that like, you know, guitars to me are supposed to look a little bit worn down and, you know, banged up a bit.
When I was in the monastery, we had this tradition where when a monk would die, they called it the beggar's bench. So they took all his possessions and they put it on this bench, like kind of in a closet in the hallway. And after we obviously paid our respects to the person and threw him in the ground, put some dirt on him, it was tradition to go by the beggar's bench. And you would usually find, you know, usually monk would always have, you know, 10 really good books and but I found this pair of boots one time. This amazing pair of boots. I think they might have been Doc Martens, but they were just like so comfortable and worn in and just solid, like just real well-made boots. And it never really fazed me these boots were worn last month, probably by a guy that's dead now, you know, like when he last wore them. But they were just really good boots. And so I think guitars in a lot of ways kind of like that, where like it just something that wears and just fits and you're just like, it just feels so natural. And mm-hmm. they have this thing now called relict guitars, where you'll pay a lot of money to get like, here's the Nick when, you know, well, I've seen a David Gilmour one where it's like, this is when he dropped it on a stage in 1974, yeah. and here's the Nick. You know, and they go to that extreme as if it has that exact same Nick, it's going to make you sound like David Gilmour when you play a solo to something.
Right.
Like guitars for Pink Floyd. So,
well, Fender has that right now. Where Fender
just came out with
the black Strat, David mm-hmm. Gilmour's famous black Strat. But when you see the behind the scenes, the Fender guys are like, yeah, so what you do is you start out with a brand new Stratocaster, and then we basically beat the shit out of it until it looks like this guitar that's been through war.
It's like going to Urban Outfitters and buying de-stressed jeans.
Yeah, de-stressed jeans. But I love the fact that the Fender guys are like, yeah, we take a brand new guitar and we beat the crap out of it.
It is pretty impressive the way they do it. And they do some things too, though. Like, it's now illegal to do what's called nitrous, which is a type of cellulose that would be the coat on your neck. And, yeah. But if you play an old guitar, it has this great, like, just silk feel to the back of it. And it feels so good in your hand, like just like playing on butter.
Right, right.
But they outlawed that for like health environmental reasons. So you can only do like so many guitars a year. So mm-hmm. they've stopped doing the nitrous. But you can get the nitrous again in these relic old remakes. But I don't know. I'm partial to, you know, if I can find something, even if it's from the 80s, it's worn enough where it just feels.
Yeah.
You know, it's got stories too. I love stories. I mean, I'm a journalist by trade, so I love anything that has a story to it. And you know, I always feel like when you find used gear,
mm-hmm.
that especially if it's been beaten to hell, you're like, ooh, what? Like we went to the shop once, and the Ugandan embassy, it's this warehouse called Community Forklift here in DC, and it's where you can go and buy, like, they have like 300 doors lined up in a wall. Basically, people do rehab, and they take the stuff that they would trash, and they bring it here if it's salvageable.
Okay.
And the Ugandan embassy donated a Steinway piano.
Mm.
And it was beaten to hell. It was in the embassy here in Washington, D.C. But it was only $500 for a Steinway, which is, you played it and you can just feel the action of a Steinway. It just feels like feathers. You know, it just feels totally different. But it only had three legs. And I just kept thinking to myself, what's the story for the Ugandan embassy piano? With, like, you know, like everything that's been going on in Africa all these years and decades. And this thing's got three legs, you know, so I just, my mind went wandering on this long story of like how this piano ended up with three legs, like a three-legged dog that was like, I was in the shit for a while. And so, yeah.
Was it built that way with just three legs?
It was a piece of wood holding the other leg where there should have been a leg. It was a 2x4 on this funny. Like gorgeous Steinway upright. That just play, you know, and it was like, you know, it seriously would have had several thousand dollars of work in it. But even then I was like, oh, I should have got it because just the story alone.
Where are you going to put a Steinway?
It's just in our basement. I mean, it was an upright Steinway, but still I just thought it was amazing that it, you know, just had only had three legs. I was like,
yeah,
how badass is that? Why does that piano have three legs? I don't know, but I bet there's a damn good story behind it.
Well, you know, there was a story that Bill. Yeah, I remember I listened to this. Billy Joel was a guest on Howard Stern's radio show a couple years ago, and I was listening to it. And basically, Howard Stern wanted Billy Joel to play some songs while he was there, mm-hmm. but they actually had to bring in a piano from like one of Billy Joel's houses or something, and they had to hoist this thing up the side of a building in Manhattan. And bring it in just for like a 1 hour radio interview. Because he would only play something he was comfortable with.
Yeah. And
when you're Billy Joel, I guess you can do that.
I guess so. Man.
So if you had $1,000, you have $1,000 for you have a $1,000 gift certificate to Guitar Center. Do you buy an expensive guitar and a cheap amp? Or do you buy a cheaper guitar and a really expensive amp?
Man, it's a tough question.
The way I was taught was that The amplifier is everything.
I think it is. And there's, you can get like cheap guitars now that play 100 times better than cheap guitars when I was a teenager. Like Epiphone makes Les Paul knockoffs
Yeah.
that are really good for like $400,
Well, yeah,
$500.
my guitar is it's a Fender Squire. It's made
Oh
in China.
yeah.
It's a Strat body, but I caught it for $100.
Yeah.
So fine.
No, I know. And if you put that probably through like a $600-$700 amp, it probably would sound pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd say amp. I'd go with
Okay.
the amp, yeah. And then you can even get like some of the Squires that are $200-$300 that are like meant to be like a 1964 Strat, and that kind of
Yeah.
stuff, like really nice old school.
I was happy with my $100 guitar. I saw it, was like, you know what, that looks cool, and that was basically it. And then I spent $100 on the guitar, and I think I spent $20 on the amplifier, but
Well, here's the thing. I've seen YouTube videos of like these really good guitarists like Steve Vai,
yeah.
and he'll go into like, I think there's a video of him online. No, it's Joe Satriani, who's a famous guitar
Oh yeah,
soloist.
yeah.
And he goes into like some kid's house that has like a $100 type guitar and just starts playing, and it's Joe Satriani. I mean, it just sounds incredible, and you realize a lot of it is in the fingers and and it's like,
Yeah.
so yeah, definitely go with the amp, because the amp's ultimately what the clarity of the, an amp, a good amp lets you hear a guitar clearly, regardless of what it
Yeah.
is. You hear each note and you hear the sustain, and so yeah.
It would just seem like it would seem that like as a musician, like if I pose that question, that there are so many other variables above where you might say, well, it depends on the guitar, the amp, the mixing board that it's going through, all this stuff, the
Yeah.
microphones.
Yeah, but there's,
Yeah.
it's like you can just have like, I don't know. I don't want to nerd out too much, but there's folks out there that just keep it real with like a guitar and an amp, and they plug in and that's it,
Yeah.
versus like Vernon Reid, who played with a band called Living Color.
Yep.
I've seen his rig online, and it's like computers, like racks and racks of equipment and computers, and so, it's like any hobbyist, I mean, you can minimalist. I was actually teaching Oliver because he was too lazy to color his journal for his human sexuality class. That was his homework assignment: decorate your journal. And he's like, white's my favorite color. It was just a white piece of paper on the cover, and I was like, so just tell them you're a minimalist.
Yeah, really.
So he learned today what a minimalist was.
That
So
he that definitely sounds like someone that would be your kid.
yeah. So just, it's a snowman in a blizzard. Yeah.
But wait, so you also play upright bass, right?
I do, yeah.
Is that a transition that all bass players should be able to? Like going from, your traditional bass guitar to an upright bass, or is it like you're starting basically all over again?
If you played fretless a lot, then it's easy.
Okay.
If you've never played a fretless guitar, it can be difficult.
Gotcha.
And it's different, it's a whole different way to hold your hand. It's a whole different sort of spacing where the fret should be. They're not, it's not equal spacing as if it were a precision bass, which is a common type of bass guitar,
Yeah.
with the spacing of the frets. So it feels different, but I mean, I've played fretless for 30 years, so I can switch in and out pretty easy on an upright
Yeah.
or a fretless. So, but no, yeah, it's
And do you, wait, in didn't wasn't it you, Oliver, or you were teaching? I thought it was you were teaching one of your kids to play drums.
Ollie's taking drum. Well, he was taking drum lessons
Oh.
until he broke his arm, but he still has the kit
Okay.
downstairs. I was able to score a Ludwig kit from a friend. He's got like a
Nice.
little 5-piece kit downstairs, and he actually can play. I was surprised. Like, he was playing when he was 5. We got it for his fifth birthday. No, sixth
Yeah.
birthday? Yeah, sixth birthday. And he was playing, holding down a beat.
Wow.
Kid's got rhythm, man. He loves to dance. The kid's got natural rhythm, so I hope he'll stick with it, but we'll see. I mean, I also hope he'll choose accounting or engineering.
Son, be an actuary.
Yeah. No, if he wants to be an act, he likes to, he's acting in a school play right now. If he wants, I would be ecstatic for him to get into the arts. I don't want to push him out of my desire of dreams that I never achieved, trying to recreate them in my child. But if he goes with the arts, I'd totally support him. I think we both would. Lauren and I both would. Obviously, I mean, we'll both obviously support him anything he wants to do, but.
No, I've already told Maddie that I will only tolerate a business degree.
Yeah, have you really?
No.
No. What do you think she wants to do? Is she giving a hint?
Well, last week she wanted to be a pilot. The week
That's
before
good.
that she wanted to be Elsa. And it changes from week to week, but she's getting to that age. She's 4 and a half, she'll be 5. She's getting to that age where, she likes to pretend, she'll wear her doctor clothes
Yeah.
and
Does she like Doc McStuffins?
she does. She's not as for a while she was totally into Doc McStuffins. And now she's kind of veered out of it. She just kind of goes through phases. And so right now, what's her thing right now? Thing right now is still princess stuff. She loves the Disney. I wish we could be a family that wasn't so, ensconced in Disney, but we're not. They own us.
Hey man, we got hooked on it. Went down there and did the whole thing, and it'll suck you in. They have figured out how to crack the code on magic, like magical experiences.
Well, you guys just went to Disney World, didn't you?
We did the day after the election. We flew out of town.
Okay.
It was like, get me out of here.
This
So yeah,
Fantasyland represents the country you now
I
live in.
know exactly.
Did you hear what that dumbass just, I that he's accusing President Obama of wiretapping his phones?
I know. I know.
I don't, but what pisses me off even more? It's not the fact that Trump is accusing him of that. It's the fact that Obama hasn't just come right out and said, that never happened, never did it, goodbye.
I think he did say something yesterday. I know one of his senior counsels came out and said,
They
that we
sent
have
out.
rules in place that prevent presidents from even being able to do that.
Right. Like
Yeah.
the former director of National Intelligence, he was on the Sunday show saying we never did that. I just want Obama to come out and just say, never did it, never would do it.
Yeah.
Bye. And just shut the guy the hell up.
I know.
It's just I don't get it. I don't. I honestly thought that, or my hope was that, the weight of the office, the responsibility was going to sober him up, and that overnight he'd change into a someone that I could start to respect.
It's
And
funny
it
'cause
just
he
hasn't
just totally
happened.
turned on that. There was an article I read early last week about how I think it was in the Washington Post, where the way that Russia has been unfalling for the whole, with Sessions and Mike Pence and Flynn and everything, they said they basically drew a bunch of lines, parallel lines to Nixon, and because Nixon had Spiro Agnew, who was the vice president, and then Agnew was out, and that's how Ford became president. Ford was speak. It's like. So it's one of the few times where last week at the beginning of the week, we're like, wow, when like the stuff about Pence's email came out, it's like Paul Ryan could be president of the United States. It's just sort of this relation. So the Post had this article about not all necessarily about that, but just how this was a lot of stuff that was very reminiscent of Nixon and Watergate. And it was interesting that he launched that tweet because that tweet was basically what, the Democrats bugged. I mean, Nixon bugged the Democrats. And so it was almost like this, like, hearkening back to just like he read something because he's notorious for reading a headline and then just tweeting out. So he must have read something like, is Trump like Nixon? And he like spun it around and said, oh, president butt wiretapping? That must be what it's about. And so Obama's wiretap. It's like he connected these dots and there was a loose spark and it just created this tweet the other morning. Because it is like he just totally got it wrong. It's like, no, you don't understand. You're the one that's That's the like Nixon, not your former president predecessor. I don't know. It's bizarre. His tweets are entertaining at best. So
I have to believe it. I just don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
But oh well.
It is I guess we're just kind of used to it here. It's only been a month, and it's like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's like, you know, like 5 years of like your Uncle Billy that just keeps doing it every year. There goes yeah. Uncle Billy. You know, he showed up without his pants on again to Thanksgiving. Way to go, Uncle Billy. You know, and it's like, I feel like we're only in a month in, and it feels like we're 5 years out of it now. Just going, well, there he goes again.
Yep. I honestly thought that, well, you know, the weight of this whole thing is just going to, it's going to change him. You watch. You'll get behind him, and
yeah.
It's just not whatever.
I got to give credit, though. I did feel kind of bad for his kids last night and his two sons, Eric and Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah.
Because SNL did a skit that honestly I didn't think was that funny, where it played Eric Trump as just sort of like this naive infant. And I mean, both his kids are like top-notch school, yeah. You know, pretty smart. But, you know, I mean, granted, their dad, they play the cards right, and they're daddy's kids, and, you know, I'm sure yep. they got into college through endowments. But, you know, I know Eric scored well. He went to Georgetown, I think, which was a Jesuit school, and so I'd like to think he has some intelligence, you know.
Yeah, the thing is that they could be the greatest guys in the world, but look just, at who
yeah,
they're
it's, associated yeah, it's like...
You were made from this person's sperm.
Like Randy, so. Like you find out there's a Randy Hitler out there. That's a really nice guy.
Yeah,
Randy. He's been working at a nursery for years, and like, you know, he's given all this money to charity, but he's Randy Hitler.
There was some comedian that had that joke where he said, "Can you imagine being Hitler's cousin? You got to be pissed yeah. off."
No, totally. Like, oh, jeez. Anyways.
Yeah.
Joseph Munchen, Joey Mussolini.
Yeah, really.
I don't know. He was just a crazy uncle. He just, man. Oh well.
Yeah.
So, parenting tip of the week. What's anything new this week you learned to instill in the hearts and minds of others?
Parenting tip of the week. I guess I'd have to say, given the tantrum that Maddie had, not for the first time, but for the first time in a long time, my wife and I were resolute on the punishment. You know, no yeah. TV tonight, no TV tomorrow, TV on Saturday, maybe if you can be good. And we actually followed through on, with it. And I think that's one of the secrets that you actually, you know, if you're going to say it, you have to follow through on it. And we usually don't. We're like, okay, if 2 hours later she says she's sorry and, no, there were consequences, and we followed through on it. And so that I guess that's probably my tip of the week. Just follow through.
That's good. That's – you got to – yeah. No, I've learned about making threats and then not following through and being called to it.
Yep.
The importance of reminding your child not to pull his pants down at the pool before you get to the pool. I think that's a good tip.
Classic.
That's a good tip. Make sure you remind them before you get there on the importance of keeping their suit on. We started swim class and say no more.
So, yep.
Anyways. No, it was nothing. It was nothing scandalous. It was a quick fix. Just sort of a, whoa.
Hello, ladies.
Yes. Hi. My 4-year-old here, and he's you know, you can find him on match.com at I don't know. No, so I need something more serious. That sounds yeah. too scandalous. That was just wow, parenting tip. I'm like our motto, I'm just tired. No, I you know what? Compliment them on the good, even when you've had a horrible hellish day with them.
Yeah, that's good.
Because like yesterday, I wanted to just scream and pretend I didn't know them and just be like, I'm just going to get an Uber and leave you guys here. Or I'll put you in an Uber and just send you home, you know, something that wouldn't get me arrested. But
screw y'all.
You know, but then I broke down and called my wife and we all had a quiet car ride on the ride home with I was just fuming at them.
Yeah.
Because they were just getting out. I mean, but then it dawned on me, you know, they've had a long day. We started with swimming in the morning. We started, you know, with our you know, lecture of suits stay on. And, you know, they're exhausted probably from swimming. And then I dragged them all the way to Virginia. And so I know I was probably running them to limits that were testing their patience and their attention spans. And, you know, when they were up in bed last night in their jammies and got in bed, I just said, you know what, guys, you know, I found a couple of good things they really did and just said, I just love you guys. And I know I was upset today. But thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this. You know, it's kind of like with your partner, you know, never go to bed angry. And so I did that last night and I didn't go to bed angry with him. I found something good and gave him a hug and felt good about it.
I never want to go to bed angry. That's why I'm always giving my wife plenty of time to say she's sorry. I can wait all night, Wayne.
Yeah, any minute now.
Without apology.
Yep, yep. So yeah, never go to bed angry.
All right. Well, that is a good one to end on for today then.
Parting words.
Parting words.
Cool, man. All right. We'll be good. Have a good week. Right. And
we'll talk in a couple of days.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Take care, man.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Stop That or You'll Go Blind. Be sure to check us out on our web at stopthator.com. You can also find us on Twitter at stopthator and on iTunes. Leave us a feedback. Be great if you give us 5 stars. That helps us out. But definitely love to hear from you. So thanks. Talk to you soon.